Welcome to the Autumn Miles Show with your host, Autumn Miles. Autumn is an author, speaker, wife, and mother. She's the founder and CEO of The Blush Network, the author of Appointed, and a premier contributor for The Blaze. Autumn's vision is to engage our culture with the bold truth of God coupled with raw faith. Now here's your host, Autumn Miles.
Hello, Autumn Miles here, back with you again. I am so glad that you joined us today. We have some awesome things to talk about. Vision for your life. This week we have gone over sort of where I've come from. We've talked about marriage, we've talked about kids, we've talked about ministry, and now we're going to talk about vision. What are we going to do here for the next year or years that we have this show? What is the vision of the show? Where are we going? That's what we're going to talk about today, and I'm so glad that you've join me. You know, one of my biggest things I love is vision. I believe that everyone can be a visionary if they want to be. So many people, as I travel the country and speak, tell me, you know what, Autumn, God gave you a vision of conference ministry at a really a young age, but I'm not a visionary, Autumn. I cannot tell you how many people has told me I'm not a visionary. I don't know. I think very technical. I can't think ahead. Now I am a visionary, so I basically live 10 to 20 years in advance. So I've already lived the next 10 years and they were great. So congratulations to us. But, you know, a lot of people don't think like me and they come up and they say, you know what? I can't see things. I don't know. How do you seek vision for your life? How do you do that? And it's very simple to me. Anyone that comes up to me and says, I'm not a visionary, I want to look at them, and quite often I do, and say, you know what, you don't have to be Walt Disney. You don't have to be Steve Jobs. You don't have to be, you know, Donald Trump or have that sort of mentality in order to be a visionary. When God created you in his image, he created you with a vision attached to you. And your job is to seek him for the vision for your life. Now, it might be something that's uncomfortable. It might be something that maybe takes a while for you to sort of connect with that thought process. But God has already written a vision for your life. And if you want to be intentional at achieving everything God has for you, it is in seeking him. You know, when God revealed what he had for me and my purpose and his plan for me, it was because I sought him very diligently. And I asked him, Lord, reveal, show me what it is that you have for me. I love the fact that God uses people in this world that are broken, that are sinful. You know, the Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. You ain't righteous. You might think you are, but you're not. You might look righteous, but you're not. We are only righteous under the blood of Jesus and his righteousness displayed for us on the cross. We are all misfits in some way. And I love the fact that God takes us as broken vessels and pieces our lives together under his divine plan and molds us into something great. You know, I was studying, really to come and to talk to you today about who God used. You know, you might be sitting today and thinking, you know, I'm just going to my 9-to-5 and I've got my 2.5 kids and, you know, I'm comfortable in my life. And there's nothing wrong with being comfortable. if God has called you to something more. There's nothing wrong with that. But if God has called you to something more, why would you not want to seek, grab a hold of, and live the life that he has called you to? You might be thinking, well, I'm not in a bunch of sin. I'm not, you know, I'm helping out in the church and, you know, I'm doing the childcare or whatever it is. And that's great. That might be where God have you. But what if God is calling you to something more? And this is what happens with Christians is, you know, they do have the 2.5 kids. They are working the nine to five job. And, you know, they are sort of comfortable in their life, but God has called them to stand up against a social issue. God has called them and created them to step out and to do something about maybe it is pornography. We talked about that the other day. Maybe put a stop to that. Maybe God wants you, to do something in the city council. Maybe God wants you to lead something and you are comfortable and you are sort of dying and complacent in your comfort. And we sort of start to disqualify ourselves because we're not perfect. And I'm so thankful that God calls the misfits of the world like me, like the divorcee who God, under his righteousness, forgave and decided to use. I don't want you to give up on your spiritual inheritance. I want you to grasp it. I want you to walk in it. We have a great inheritance that can be yours. And I know today that I'm speaking to some people that are listening right now, and God is nudging your heart and he is telling you, you know the direction. Even as I'm speaking, you know the direction that I am asking you to go. You know the step of faith that I am asking you to step out in and to walk in. You know what I am asking you to do. And this, hopefully, this will encourage you. You know, when you look at the people that God called in scripture, a lot of them had a rebuttal. A lot of them looked at God and said, you know what, God, I know that you said this, but these are things that disqualify me from your calling. God called Abraham. And this is what he said to Abraham in Genesis 15. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision saying, do not fear, Abram. I am a shield to you. Your reward shall be very great. And Abraham said, oh, Lord God, what will you give me since I am childless? And Abram said, since you have given me no offspring, one born in my house is my heir. Then behold, the word of the Lord came to him saying, this man will not be your heir, talking about Eliezer, but one will come forth from your own body and he will be your heir. And he took him outside and said, now look towards the heaven and count the stars if you are able to count them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. Then Abraham, he believed in the Lord and it was reckoned to him for righteousness. So God is coming and he's making this covenant with Abraham. And he's saying, listen, your descendants are going to be great. It's going to come, it's going to come from your own body. But right in the verse right before that, he said, Lord, how could this be? I have no children. I have no children. He talks back to the Lord. And surely, of course, we know that Isaac came from Abraham. We look at Moses. We can go to Exodus 3:10. I have my Bible right in front of me, and I'm going to flip to Exodus 3:10. We see Moses. He is tending the sheep. Exodus 3:1. Now Moses was pasturing the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, to the mountain of God. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the midst of the bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, yet the bush was not consumed. So Moses said, I must turn aside now and see this marvelous light, why the bush is not burned up. When the Lord turned and saw that he looked, God called him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Jumping down to verse 7, the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt and have given heed to their cry because of their taskmasters, for I am aware of their suffering. So I am come to deliver them from the power of the Egyptians and to bring them up from the land to a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And he goes on in verse 10, therefore, come now, I will send you to Pharaoh so that you may bring my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt. But here's the rebuttal. Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt? And God said back to him, certainly I will be with you. And this shall be a sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God at this mountain. God is saying, Moses, I have a great plan for you. I have something. You have to step out from pastoring the flock. You have to step out from your comfort level, from your comfort zone. And Moses comes back and says, who am I? I'm insignificant. I'm not a leader. I can't do this. And God says, I will be with you. You jump down to Joshua. And Joshua, here he is following Moses after the great and incredible Exodus. And God speaks directly to Joshua. And he says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Joshua 1:2. Now, therefore, arise. Cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving you, and every place which the sole of your foot treads, I have given you, just as I have spoken to Moses. And God starts telling him, no man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous. Only be strong and courageous. Have I not commanded you, verse 9, be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you everywhere you go. Now, God repeated to Joshua multiple times, I know that you are stepping into Moses's shoes and you're about to lead this nation. And then he repeats multiple times, be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous, which leads me to believe that Joshua was freaked out to do it, because they were such incredible shoes to fill. But God said, I'm going to be with you wherever you go. You look at Samuel, and I love the story of David. How, David in 1 Samuel, when he was anointed king, if you look at the passage in 1 Samuel 12, Samuel goes to anoint a king from Jesse's children, and Jesse invites all of his sons except for David. He says, hey, all of you guys come in. Surely one of you is going to be the next king of Israel. And what does Samuel do? He goes through all of the different brothers and God says, no, I have not chosen him. I have rejected him, not chosen him, not chosen him. And Samuel has to go back to Jesse and he has to tell him, do you have any more kids? Because none of these people are who God has chosen. And when Jesse said, yes, I have one, he's pasturing the flock. Samuel says, I'm not going to sit down until he comes in front of me. And when Samuel saw him, he was ruddy in appearance. He's a little dude, but he was handsome, had beautiful eyes. And the Lord had chosen him. He wasn't, he didn't look like he should be chosen as king. Jesse didn't even see him fit to be invited to the meeting with the prophet Samuel. But God looked down and he saw him exactly in his circumstances as a shepherd of sheep. And he said, nope, that's it, because I'm looking at his heart. You look at Isaiah and Isaiah's call. In the vision that God revealed to Isaiah. Here Isaiah is standing in the very throne room of the Lord. He has a vision that he's standing in the throne room of the Lord. And God is speaking very clearly, very loudly. And he's saying, Isaiah is seeing this. And he says, then I said, woe is me, for I'm ruined. I'm a man of unclean lips. And I live amongst a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then One of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal in his hand, which he had taken away from the altar with tongs. He touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips and your iniquity is taken away. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And then I said, here I am, send me. Isaiah knew that there was a big job to do. But he immediately disqualified himself because I'm a man of unclean lips. He didn't even think that the Lord God that he was beholding could cleanse his lips. He wouldn't even think like that. He just immediately disqualified himself. And then God came in and said, I'm going to send you anyway. I'm going to clean up your mouth. And Isaiah, in my opinion, is one of the greatest prophets ever. Jeremiah, we look at his call. I hope this is encouraging you today that when God puts you on this earth, nothing in your mind or nothing in your head can disqualify you from the call he has for you if you are willing. You have to be willing to follow his call, but it's like every excuse we have to tell him, no, God, I'm not good enough. No, God, you didn't give me any children. No, God, I'm scared. No, God, I'm insignificant. No, God, I have unclean lips. None of that matters to God when he wrote your life for the specific calling and vision for you. None of your excuses matter. Jeremiah, the next prophet, Jeremiah, the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I consecrated you. I have appointed you a prophet to the nations. And then I said, Jeremiah speaking, alas, Lord God, behold, I don't know how to speak. I'm a youth. But the Lord said to me, don't say I'm a youth, because everywhere I send you, you shall go. And all that I command you, you shall speak. Don't be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord stretched out his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have appointed you this day over the nations and over the kingdoms to pluck down, to break down, to destroy, to overflow, to build, and to plant. Jeremiah's immediate rebuttal was, Lord, I'm a youth. I don't know how to speak. And God came in and he reprimanded him, said, don't say I'm a youth, because I'm going to send you. I made you for this. I have pieced you together for this. Stop with your excuses, because I have chosen you. Several other people in the scripture. God comes, I think of Peter, who really disqualified himself just by denying Jesus. And God still used him to build his church on him. It's amazing who God chooses to use. I think of Paul. How God changed Saul to Paul and used him. If anyone had an excuse, a rebuttal back to the Lord not to be used, it would have been Saul, who persecuted Christians. But God saw past that and he said, no, I want him to step out in faith. I'm going to use him to be the greatest missionary ever. I think of you today and the vision for your life. And maybe the vision seems too great for you. Maybe you have all of these excuses why you shouldn't do what God is asking you to do. And God doesn't care about your excuses. He cares about your obedience, walking directly in obedience with what he has for you. What is it that he's asking you to do today? And what is your excuse? Are you too young? Are you too old? Are you disqualifying yourself even though God is telling you to do it? None of your excuses hold water with the King. As far as the vision for the show goes, and I've mentioned this multiple times, we are going to engage this culture. There is such a cry. There is such a cry in our culture for people to stand up and to challenge it. It needs to be challenged with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So we're going to engage it. And throughout this year, however long God gives us, you're going to see us engaging with stories maybe that we see on the news. Maybe it's topics. Maybe it's social media that we're engaging with. You're going to see us engage the culture. And we're going to combat some of the things that we've been led to believe with the truth of God's word. I don't believe there is one problem in the world that can't be solved by seeking the word of God, bold truth. And then we're going to have some call to actions of faith, raw faith. I think I mentioned prepackaged faith. We want raw faith. I want you guys to take a step of faith. Stop talking yourself out of faith. Step in. What is it that God is asking you to do? The Bible says, crucify yourself. It's not you that lives. It's Christ that is supposed to live in you. It's not about you. It's not about your agenda. It's about Jesus and what Jesus wants to do in this culture through you. Are you stopping him because of your own comfort? I'm going to challenge you to have some raw faith while you listen to the show. We're going to go to the phone. We're actually going to talk to someone that I'm really encouraged by. Her name is Janine. We're going to get her on the line. Okay, we have Janine here on the line. Welcome, Janine, to the Autumn Miles Show. How are you, honey?
I'm good. Thank you.
Now, Janine, you have just recently joined our team, and you are one of the interns on our team helping to produce the show. How are you feeling so far?
I love it. I'm so excited to be working with the team.
I know. We love you, too. We've just, like, kind of swallowed her up in our little hearts. We just love her. She's like sugar wrapped in bacon. It's, like, amazing. It's, like, the best combo ever. But you know what? We're talking about vision. And one of the things I loved about you and one of the reasons why we hired you was because at such an early age, God has given you a vision for your life. Can you sort of condense that down for us and just give us a nutshell? What is God calling you to step out and do, Janine?
Absolutely. So I feel like God is calling me to one day have my own conference ministry, very similar to the Blush Network and how they empower women to be all that God calls them to be. I'd love to do the same for youth all over the country. I feel like God is calling me to start a conference ministry to empower youth all over our country.
Yeah, girl. That's awesome. How do you know God is telling you that? What is something that God has told you where you're like, yep, that's for me?
Well, along with what we're talking about today, I feel like God has given me a vision for that. Just over a year ago, I feel like God gave me a vision for the conference ministry itself. I was actually standing on a stage, and I could see all these hands worshiping God, and God just spoke to me very clearly through my heart that this is what I want you to do. This is what I'm calling you to do. Then this is your purpose for your life.
Have you ever questioned that, Janine? And have you ever said, oh, God, I can't do this. This is too big for me.
Yes, I have questioned it. But I feel like as soon as I question it, God just brings me back to the fact that he knows me better than I know myself. And he knows all that he's equipped me to do. And he is so much bigger than any of my weaknesses or any of my shortcomings. And he's going to be there with me every step of the way. And if he's called me to do it, then he will provide all that's needed for it to happen.
And that's why I love you, Janine. You know, Janine approached us at one of our conferences that we did. And I remember because she was sitting like right in the front row. And a speaker loves someone that's going to smile and like interact with what they're saying. And Janine was definitely that person sitting there. And she approached me directly after the conference and just said, listen, I feel like God is calling me to do this conference ministry for young adults, teenagers. And she was just resonating with vision that God had given her at a very, very early age. And it really was just so inspiring for me to see. So, thank you so much, Janine, for being on the show. But I want to just talk to you viewers just in the short time that we have left. You know, what is it? Could God be asking you to step out and to do something that really doesn't make sense in the natural, but he has already appointed you to do it. A lot of you I know are thinking right now, oh yeah, he is calling me. And I need to answer that call. And just like Janine said, if God has called you to do it, just like with Joshua, just like with Moses, just like with Ezekiel and Abraham and Paul and Peter, just like with all of those men, God never left their side, not one time. He was the power behind the vision he had given them. They weren't the power. In their weakness, he was strong. And so I challenge you today, tap into what God is calling you to do. I am having so much fun with you here on the Autumn Miles Show. Thank you for joining us. I cannot wait to see you next time.
Thanks so much for listening today. The Autumn Miles program is listener supported, and your donation to keep it on the air is appreciated. To make a donation, visit autumnmiles.com. And with a $100 donation or more, you'll receive an autographed copy of Autumn's book, Appointed, Your Future Starts Now. Join us next time for the Autumn Miles Show on Christian Talk Radio, The Word, 100.7 FM.